And a one, and a two. And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 177, Spotlight on Marvel Comics, Ms. Marvel, number 6 and 7 from 2014, maybe 7 if we get to it. Anyway, I am Chris Mosby, and I screwed up the recording. This is take two. But anyway, I'm Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb having deja vu Gerard.
Yeah, I'm still Murray Fox. That's cool.
Okay, this is the deal. We're Ms. Marvel, awesome stuff. We just got through reading through some of it, but hey, the recording wasn't on. And you can blame sick as a dog, Mosby. And yeah, you guys talk. I'm going to crawl in my hole now.
we are recording, though, right?
Yes, it is actually recording. Absolutely, positively, I can see it right here.
Press your heart up to plastic.
Yes, sir. I greatly apologize. I'm glad we didn't get too far in.
All right.
Only a half hour wasted.
Totally.
Not wasted. All right. I'm about to read this for the third time. So.
Oh, well, okay, good. Yeah, I'm enjoying it, so.
It's a good, good book. Yes, yeah, we're looking at Ms. Marvel, and we've talked about it, but we haven't ever looked at any of the issues in depth.
Yes.
So we thought we would.
This is the fourth Ms. Marvel character. She's a Pakistani-American. Somebody with a better voice continue.
She is a Pakistani-American. She was created out of the Inhumanity storyline that ran through the Marvel Universe last year, or maybe it was earlier in 2014. I don't remember the exact timing on that. Nope, it was 2013. So, actually, oh my God, it was August 2013. Good Lord.
That's a
These events seem to blend one into another, but this is when Black Bolt released a Terrigen bomb on the planet Earth, and all of these latent Inhumans were cocooned up and came out with various superpowers and various D&D affiliations, whether righteous good or evil bad, or whatever those terms are in D&D. You guys are probably better at that than I would be.
Awful good.
And this young, geeky, comic book reading Pakistani-American teenager, a la Peter Parker without the scientific smarts, was turned out to be a latent Inhuman and came out with cool morphing powers, which she basically uses for a lot of stretching and growing big, but as we find in this issue, she can do a lot more with it than that. But again, like you said, she's the fourth Ms. Marvel. We had Carol Danvers and then Sharon the Body Ventura from Fantastic Four was Ms. Marvel, and then we had Sophia Moonstone, formerly Moonstone of the Thunderbolts, became Ms. Marvel briefly in the Norman Osborn Dark Avengers, and then we have Kamala Khan. Been watching
this with the kids.
We actually watched Into Darkness recently. But anyhow, this is an interesting take on the character. It's a teenager with teenage sensibilities. Take it for a second, Marie. I gotta give my daughter a dirty look.
Okay. So, Kamala is, the first kind of, we're jumping in on issue 6, but the first story arc kind of look at Ms. Marvel getting used to her powers. I mean, she's still getting used to her powers, but kind of realizing that she had powers, and we were introduced to her supporting cast, lots of the kids from school. We got to meet her family, her parents, her brother. And the great thing about the series is that they're all very grounded. They all have very distinct voices. They sound real. The author, G. Willow Wilson, is Muslim, I think, herself, and she brings a very authentic voice to the series. So the parents sound like real parents, but they also sound like real parents who are, who are religious and who have their who are faithful to their beliefs, but they're, they're parents, they're real, they have concerns other than just religious concerns, which is kind of cool. And the kids at school are the types of kids you would expect to see. So we've had we've had some of the snotty rich kids, and we've met Kamala's friends, and we've met a good chunk of her supporting cast, and there's tons of story potential there for all of them, but hopefully we'll get to see it as the series moves on. And
stereotype. They're not Veronica and Reggie and Moose and all them. They are the archetypes for the other teenagers in her school or the adults.
Yeah.
Kind of clearly with more depth.
Yeah. It's such a good series. So G. Willow Wilson is the writer. The artist is normally Adrian Alfonso. I think it's Alfona. Adrian Alfona.
Yeah.
I should know because he's a good old Canadian boy.
That would mean you know how to pronounce his name just because.
Yes. It's a rule. It's the one rule we have in Canada.
You know how to pronounce everybody's name.
How to pronounce everyone's name. Yeah. Wow. And his artwork is great. It's very, it's light. It's cartoony. Caleb, you were saying it's got like an indie feel to it, and it really does.
Yeah, I agree on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the comparison I was making that what Marvel's done a lot lately, and DC is starting to catch up a little bit with Gotham Academy, and a couple other books like that, is that independent superhero feel. You know, it's an indie comic that could almost be an Image book or Dark Horse. But is grounded in the more popular DC or Marvel universe, like Hawkeye or Daredevil in the case of Marvel Universe.
Yeah, now the issue we're looking at is guest artist Jacob Wyatt, but it's done in a very similar style. It is equally cool.
Equally
cool. And the color artist Ian Herring does a wonderful job. The colors are varied, and they're light, and they're fluffy, and they're beautiful.
They are. They're
low on fat and carbohydrates.
Totally.
I like that, and we'll see as we go through the issue. Again, I think I'm glad you brought up the color because we didn't talk about that when our first go through. But it is, you know, it's muted when it needs to be, and it's bright when it needs to be, which is neat.
Yeah. He really he does a good job with the color. He really tailors it to the scene and the action that's going on, which is good. Yep. And the lettering is cool. Joe Caramagna. It's a little harder to read on the iPad, I think, but if you're reading like the real comic book, it's really, really cool. It's got its own neat look, which I like. Like, I like when books have their own distinct look. Like years ago, Justice League International, I think, had those like really round word bubbles and other books. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like they have like a very specific look, and this book's lettering has its own specific look as well, which is.
I remember when Ultimate Spider-Man first started. And maybe they were doing it before, but it really stuck out in this one when they started using lowercase letters.
Yes.
In the speech bubbles. And again, maybe it was done before that. I don't recall. And that's when it really stuck out. And it's like, oh yeah, this is like a real typed out sentence where you got a capital letter at the front of the.
So it's cool. It's very cool. So we start with our opening page. Well, our cover actually. Jamie McKelvey does a picture of Kamala Khan punching out a bank robber. She's got her phone out. I'd like to think she's taking a selfie of the whole thing. It's a good little photo picture there. And then we get into the recap page, which every issue has, and it gives you just the briefest of what's gone on before. I think enough that you can dive into the story probably. So it lets us know that Kamala Khan's always felt different. She's a nerdy. She's got nerdy interests, strict parents, and now strange polymorphing powers. After rescuing her best friend, Bruno's brother, from a shady crew, she discovers that Jersey City has a villain lurking in its midst named the Inventor. Good thing the city has a hero now, too. Kamala Khan is the all-new Ms. Marvel. Boom, boom, boom.
She has theme music. You just gave her theme music.
That's right. Totally.
Good job, man.
So we open up on a scene. The Inventor is this is this dude who's been bugging Ms. Marvel throughout the first five issues. And as his name says, he's an inventor. He has little tiny beasties that crawl around and giant robots that have been terrorizing the city. So Kamala's on the lookout trying to find them, squish them, get rid of them. But they are getting smarter. So even when she disguises herself as like a big couch or sofa, the sensors have now realized that generally sofas don't give off heat signatures the way people do. So they've found her. So she squashes the little bot. But then, of course, after she smashes it, there's a little explosion that sends her flying through the air. And she's like, ah, just another day on the job for Ms. Marvel. Fortunately, after the explosion is over, that's when her cell phone rings and she gets a call from her brother. And he's like, where are you? She's like, I'm studying. He's like, yeah, right. Listen, Abu wants you to talk to Sheikh Abdullah after the food drive at the mosque tomorrow. She's like, no, he hates me. Tell Abu I'll do the dishes every night for a month. I won't leave the house till I'm 30. I'll do whatever, anything but a talk with Sheikh Abdullah. And her brother, I don't think we meet him in this issue, but he's a cool character. He's very strict Muslim, or he likes to pretend that he's strict Muslim. He probably actually believes that he's strict Muslim. He's at that teenagery phase where, you know, he's into something really deep and it's his whole world. And despite that, however, his parents are like, yeah, but you still got to do the dishes and take out the garbage. So maybe cut down the praying at the table and do something else. Or I think they were complaining he didn't have a job or something. They were like, maybe if you stop praying so much, you might find yourself a job or gainful employment or which is great. Like, I mean, it really paints a picture of the kid and their family. Cause we totally know kids like this who just, they're the be all and end all. They know everything about everything except, you know, like the basics, like the clean dishes go in the cupboard. And when you're done with the groceries, you actually put away the grocery bags and, you know, those little things that drive parents absolutely mental.
You know, not every meal comes out of a paper bag with the straw and a ketchup packet.
So. Oh, yeah, that's my nephew's right there.
Anyway, so those characters are realistically sketched out for sure.
Well, every character so far, again, like I was saying earlier about the stereotypical or archetypal Riverdale characters, they're in here, they're in the book, but they're not at the same time.
Yeah, we get a little tired of that.
This one that we're coming up to, you think you know where it's going, and you know, because he's a stern old guy, but no, we're about to be.
Yeah. Kamala sets the stage. He's this stern, horrible Sheik, and we get the first scene of him looking very stern, very strict, Sister Kamala Khan, and then he's big smile on his face. Please sit. So they sit down in the mosque and. They have a little conversation, which is, it's so cool.
Yes.
So he's like, so your father says you've been sneaking out and acting strangely. And she is all, can we just get to the part where I say I'm sorry and we skip all the rest? And he's like, nope, we cannot. Something's wrong. I need to know about it. She's like, nothing's wrong. It's not like that. It's, I don't want to lie, but I'm afraid you wouldn't believe me. And he's all understanding. Just try me. She's like, okay, well, I help people. And he's all, you help people. Yeah. Sometimes people get into bigger trouble than they know how to get out of. So I help, which, you know, not very well, which is why I end up breaking curfew. And he kind of stares at her. What are you not telling me?
She's like, nothing. Such a great therapist. I mean, the best therapists are just, they just repeat back what they said. And she's such a typical teenager. Just
That's right. She's like, nothing. I mean, nothing I can't not tell you. I don't mean to disobey Abu and Ami. It's just that sometimes I have to in order to do the right thing. He says, well, I see. Well, if you're not very good at it, helping people, that is, I think perhaps you need a teacher. She's like, what? You're not going to tell me to be a good girl and focus on my studies and do repentance and all that stuff?
What you talking about, Wiz?
I know. If I told you that, you'd just ignore me. I know how headstrong you are. So instead, I'm going to tell you to do what you're doing with as much honor and skill as you can. She's like, I can't believe it. I thought you were going to warn me about Satan and boys. And he says, I've been giving youth lectures at this mosque for 10 years. If I still have to warn you about Satan and boys, I should lose my job. I'm asking you for something more difficult. If you insist on pursuing this thing you will not tell me about, do it with the qualities befitting an upright young woman. Courage, strength, honesty, compassion, and self-respect. Do we have a deal? She's like, yeah, I mean, yes. Thank you, thank you. But about finding a teacher, how am I supposed to find someone to teach me how to, you know, be better at helping? He says, as the ancient saying goes, when the student is ready, the master will appear.
And by the way, I took a second to look that up. It wasn't from Kung Fu. It sort of is. It's actually, it's a Buddhist proverb.
Ah, that makes
that
sense.
That's Buddhist, yeah.
Which is really interesting. I mean, again, you think this, there's this, you know, cranky Muslim sheikh where, you know, we turn on the news and every sheikh they show on the news is screaming about death to the proletariat. And this guy's quoting Buddha.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, and you'd like to think that's a more realistic portrayal of sorry, excuse me, of sheikdom.
Yeah. Than, he's living in America, for goodness sake. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So sorry, I didn't want to go off on a little rant there, but I thought that was again.
Oh, that's cool. I was wondering where that came from too.
No worries. All right, so Kamala's walking downtown. She's walking to her comic shop on Cole Street.
Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty sure it's Cole Street now.
Sure it's not the coolest one? Okay,
it's not the coolest one. My faith in spelling has been restored. Anyway, there's this giant pothole in Cole Street. Like, a pothole is kind of really not doing it. Is doing it a bit of a disservice.
It's almost a chasm.
Yeah, it's like a big meteor hit the ground and there's a giant gaping hole in the middle of the street that cars have to like pull into the next lane to drive around. It's huge.
Three orange cones and a little sign that says watch your step, and there's a hole that can swallow up a pinto.
That's right.
It's pretty funny.
So as she's walking by her comic shop, she asks the comic guy, hey, does the pothole usually growl? He's like, growl? Like there are alligators in the sewer or something? And then they look down and they hear a growl. And Kamala runs off to get some help, to get to the proper authorities. And he's like, we should just be calling the water sewer garbage people. So she's running. She runs to the Circle Q, which is like the corner store where her sidekick works. Her sidekick is Bruno, and he is kind of a technical wizard. He's the one that invented her costume. He knows her secret. He's invented like the special fabric that'll let it grow and stretch and stuff. And he's harboring a secret crush on Kamala.
Yep.
Yeah, he loves her.
Of course.
I don't think he's Muslim either. I think, you know, that's part of the problem that they deal with in this book, is that he's not Muslim and she is. And
yeah, that'll be one of the problems for sure. Yeah, he's... No, I don't think he is, because his brother definitely isn't. His brother was the, skateboardery dude. And
yep.
Anyway, so she runs in, and she's like, Bruno, costume, chop, chop. He's like, what, now? You're going out? Where? And all she tells him is the sewers, and he's like, are you going to tell me what's going on? And she's like, only after I figure out whether I'm right or not. Comes standing out there in her costume, and she's got her costume and her secret hideout and her sidekick and her dastardly enemy, and she's thinking, what's missing? Theme music. I need theme music.
Hunt up Murray Fox. He's got a theme music for her.
Yeah, I'll work something out. Alrighty, so she dives into the sewers, starts exploring the smelly, gross sewers, which are dark and humid. And I'm not sure that sewers are normally humid. I don't know. I have not hung out in a lot of sewers.
There's always that steam coming off of them whenever they show them in movies, so I would say I guess
humid. Maybe they are humid. Maybe.
Mm. All that decomposition going on around you.
Gross. Okay, let's not discuss it. Anyway, she's walking through the sewer sludge.
Take a moment to mention her McFarlane-ish scarf.
Okay, yeah, big, beautiful scarf.
Yes.
It's great for design. Like, it's not practical, but...
I like how it's constantly blowing in the wind. You
know? Whether there's wind or not, it's always going to be moving.
Yes, it's not falling into the water where you would imagine it would fall.
And really, it has to be moving, because it's like 15 feet long.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And it made me wonder if it was part of her body.
Oh, okay, good point.
Mm. Which, mm. I'm glad that you mentioned that he invented her costume, because that was the first thing I thought. So why does she need a costume?
Yeah. Well, when she first appeared, she took on the appearance of the blonde, blue-eyed Ms. Marvel.
Oh, I'm sure that caused that
was kind of what she knew or what she thought of.
Right.
And then eventually took on her own appearance and realized she could be her own. She didn't have to be someone else. She could be herself. And
that's cool.
Anyway, she's wandering through the sewers. She's like, there's no alligators down here. I'm starting to feel a bit silly. That inventor seems pretty crazy, but he can't be that crazy. And, of course, then we turn the page and we see there are 5 alligators with little lasers on their heads. And they're living in their swampy splendor down in the sewers.
And he is, in fact, that crazy.
He really is that crazy.
Yes, yes, he is.
Oh, my loony auntie. And then the inventor appears, and he's like a little hologram. I assume you're the one they call Ms. Marvel. I'm sorry, I can't be there to greet you in person. My name is Thomas Edison.
And she looked above her head there, the
exclamation. Yeah, I just now noticed.
Oh,
that's
awesome. Yeah, that's cool. That's true, because really, he's got quite the appearance. She's like, you're a bird. And he's like, I am not a bird. Of course, he's a bird. We had a big discussion in the first recording about whether he was a lorikeet or a budgie or anything. But from the neck up, he's total bird. From the neck down, he's human. And from the shoulders out, he's robotic arms that are extraordinarily long.
Like her cape or her scarf.
Like cape, that's right. Anyway, then we see a little hologram of the inventor's little flunky, and he says, really, it's all my fault. My pet cockatiel contaminated his DNA when I was synthesizing him. And the inventor tells him to be quiet. And she says, when you say Thomas Edison, do you mean the Thomas Edison? And the inventor says, well, sort of. I'm his clone. She's like, where are you? Why are you trying to kill me? And he explains that I'm not trying to kill you. Bots and bionic alligators are a very inefficient way to kill someone. I'm not the kind of mad genius who's actually an idiot. When I want to kill you, you'll know. Consider this a playful experiment. Can life forms be made to act against their own nature? Can we hotwire the brain to bypass its own lethargy? And she's like, you are certifiable. No, I'm not.
He's not an idiot, but he does monologue.
That's right.
Yes, he does.
You just haven't thought this through, Ms. Marvel. If I don't want to kill you, it means that I need you alive, and that should frighten you. She's like, if you're not trying to kill me, why are you going all this trouble? Simple. At first I considered your arrival in Jersey City a nuisance, but now I see you're deeply relevant to my work. Fight, little girl. I want to watch you fight for your life. And then the flunky tells him that the infrared scanners have detected someone else approaching the holding tank. And he's like, someone? What do you mean someone? This place was supposed to be locked down. And a big sword comes flashing through the air and slices through one of the lasers from the alligator. And
it's very manga, that the sword flashes through the air and then it's
yeah.
On his eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ms. Marvel is all, more bad guys with swords? How much worse can this day possibly get? Get ready to lose, weird short dude. I've got +10 heels.
That's my favorite part.
That's right.
She's power attack.
So power attack and comes running towards the dude who turns out to be, oh my god, you're kidding, it's Wolverine! And he's all growly with his claws out, and then he does this amazing flip over top of her instead of impaling her. And she's like, wow, such athletic, very claws, so amazed. He lands and he turns around. I love how the artist has got Wolverine actually as short and stocky and like the way a Wolverine would be. Are you like, out of your mind, kid?
Look at, those, look at the old, the original Buscema, was it Buscema, I think, who created him, the look, so.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oh, maybe. I was going to say Cochran, but you're right. He appeared before that, didn't he?
Yeah, and Hulk. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be Buscema.
Anyhow.
Are you out of mind, kid? I could have killed you. What in the heck are you doing down here? And she's all, I can't believe it. I'm going to pass out. I totally put you first in my fantasy hero team-up bracket.
I love that.
Wolverine thought, what?
What the what?
Jeez. I know. You're Wolverine. My Wolverine and Storm in Space fanfic was the third most upvoted story on Freaking Awesome last month. He is like, oh my god. I had you guys fighting this giant alien blob that farts wormholes. He's walking away and he's like, that sounds great, kid.
And I say it again, I want to read that.
But then as he's walking away, he stops and he turns and he's like, wait, so what was the most upvoted story? And she's all, Cyclops and Emma Frost, romantic vacation in Paris. He is like, oh, this is the worst day of my life.
Slim and Frost.
I know. He can never win. Cyclops always beats him just by that much.
Just by that.
Yeah, that's funny.
She's running after him. You have no idea how excited I am to meet you. We are totally twinsies. I've got... And he's like, hold on to that thought. And he starts wrestling the alligator, grabs it and twists it and holds it up. And he says, all right, kid, right in the gullet. I don't really like punching animals. You're not going to like being eaten by them either. So she does this big throat punch. The alligator goes down for the count.
That's
and
funny.
She's like, oh, is it dead? Nah, it's just sleeping. No, for real? You really got to learn to prioritize, kid. So he looks up. We need to take out this bird-headed psychopath's eyes and ears. I'm going to... No, don't do anything. I've totally got this. So she stretches herself up, pounds the seeing eye camera. That's good one, but it ain't Halloween. This is no place for a kid. She's like, this is my fight. The inventor kidnapped my friend's brother, and he came after me when I rescued him. What are you doing here? Tracking a runaway. Julie disappeared from the Jean Grey school. Her trail goes cold right here. Runaway? I saw a bunch of kids like that at the inventor's stash house in Greenville. It was like some weird kind of cult. Well, that's a problem. People don't usually walk out of cults alive. You think he's murdering them? We're going to find out what's going on. We've got to get out of this. And then the gates come slamming down. And the floor gives way beneath them, and they're doing like the water slide ride.
Oh, I was thinking like in Goonies.
Yeah, there you go.
Totally. As they're whooshing down the sewer tunnels there, she's telling herself, and biggin' and biggin' and biggin', come on, work powers, come on. And suddenly, of course, at the very last minute, her hand like grows and grabs the corner of the sewer grate or the sewer pipe. And then she grabs Wolverine. So she's all kind of stretched out. They're still like way, way, way above the like a sewer river, I guess.
The underground city that they always talk about, how New York is built on top of another New York.
Yeah, well, here you go. And she's like, oh my lord, you are heavy. He's like, sorry, metal bones. No, seriously, I don't think I can hold on much longer. He's like, just drop me.
What? Bless you.
No, do it. A planned fall is better than an unplanned fall. So she lets go and he does like this big cannonball dive into the water. She's like, I can't stretch my legs that far. Can I soak a 20-foot drop? Can I heal two broken legs? If I make myself really small, it could be easier to break the water's surface tension. Shrink, 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 shrink. Eee! And we see her shrinking herself down as she goes into the water. And that's something she's learned, not the shrinking part, but the fact that if she gets injured in her Ms. Marvel form, if she turns back into her Kamala form, it heals her.
Hmm.
It takes a lot out of her, I think. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
So if she were to land and break her legs as Ms. Marvel, if she Kamala'd herself, her legs would be back to normal, I guess. But she wouldn't be able to take advantage of her Ms. Marvel abilities for a while because she would have used up a lot of her energy.
Be wiped, yeah.
Yeah. So kinda she like shrinks.
Kind of like how Wally West was when he first became Flash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She splushes into the water and Wolverine picks her up. That's a nice trick, kid. Not really. My costume is turning into slime. I'm not supposed to get it wet. And then she gets bigger. Are you okay? You look like you're in pain. I am in pain, so thanks for noticing. But we're supposed to be superpowered twinsies. You've got healing factor, and I've got healing factor too. Not as awesome as yours. I have to be in my true form, and it makes me tired, but he explains, I did have it. Healing factor. I don't anymore. See my upcoming miniseries, Death of Wolverine.
That's funny.
God, you're actually hurt? I'm actually hurt. So, like, now you're just a short, angry man who punches stuff? And he smiles. I knew I liked you the minute I saw you. Don't worry. I'll get us out of here. You can leave the superheroing to me. I've been practicing. Yeah, I can see that. So you a mutant then? A mutant? Is that what I am? What else could I be? Oh. And as she's pondering that question, a ginormous alligator appears to be scooting through the water. And she lets those thoughts of whether she's a mutant or not go for a little while. Get back, she's saying. Dungeon boss. Most enormous alligator ever. Difficulty rating 10. Group size solo.
That is awesome. Yeah. I got to read this book.
It's good.
This totally plays off the whole Wolverine being the mentor for the young girl thing that started with Kitty Pryde and went on to Jubilee and so on. Somehow he always ends up helping out the nervous young girl.
Totally. When he comes back from being dead, he totally needs a book called Wolverine and His Girls.
it would be a very full book.
Yes, it would.
Totally. Wolverine's harem.
Oh,
there you go. God.
There was never any romantic
harem. Nope. Never was.
All right. Back to Wolverine and His Girls. Wolverine and the Gals.
Wow, that was good.
And that brings us to the end of this first part, Healing Factor Part 1. Boom, 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 boom.
Do we have it in us to go for Part 2 here?
Totally up to you. I'll sit here and record as long as you want.
Yeah, we can zip through it quick.
Okay. Do you mind if I?
Yeah, you go for it.
All right. So we are on to Ms. Marvel number 7. We do have the selfie cover where we have this actually was my screensaver for the month. This game. I love this picture.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It has Kamala
face in where Wolverine's is.
Yes, it's on both of their faces, and he's looking like, I can't believe you're taking a picture of me, and she's smiling like, hey, I'm with my celebrity, I'm geeking out, and his arms are crossed, and she's hugging him. And
that's awesome.
Got the totally phone.
Totally going to be on her Facebook page.
Yeah. That would be the Facebook selfie of the year. We dive in. We have the recap page. This is also still done by G. Willow Wilson. Art by Jacob Wyatt. Still colored art by... It's the same team. Same people doing it. And... We get the real quick recap here. Luckily for her, Wolverine is on the case and is totally her friend now. And not so luckily, he doesn't have a healing factor, and there's a giant gator about to attack him. Bummer. And real quick on his healing factor, at this point, he was still alive. His healing factor had been taken away in the Wolverine book by Paul Cornell, and which had then spread out into all the other books that he was starring in, the other 15 titles that he showed up in. And this is just pre him dying. So we have an opening splash page of the slobbering gator, giant gator, break through the wall, and she's thinking to her, and Kamala is thinking to herself, so it's like this. In order to keep me distracted while he carries out his nefarious unknown plans, the inventor has sent giant mutated sewer alligators to beat me up. Yuck. Oh, and Wolverine's here, and that's probably worth mentioning. I'm trying not to squee. And there's slobber of water splashing around, and Wolverine's all, weakly, stand back, kid. I got this one. She's all, no. And she's all still, she kind of shrunk down, like a little girl. You guys there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I am
here.
Yeah, I was muted. Sorry, I was.
No, it's okay. It's like all of a sudden it was like dead air. Like,
I was coughing up alone.
No. You're hurt. Crap. I'll figure out a plan. Oh, you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
And her plan is run. And the giant alligator is eating up the sewer floor, and he's telling her, "Get on top of it. Go for its eyes. I'll keep it occupied."
Go for the eyes, boo. Oh, sorry.
Oh, Lord. And he's all, hey, Toopy, over here. And he's clearly still hurt. It's a really nicely drawn. He's like holding his side, which is really nice touch. And she's now hanging on the back of the giant gator, which is really giant. Whoa, sorry.
What
no
the
idea.
Hell?
No idea.
That's the giant gator.
Is that the alligator in your house?
Yes.
And he's running away, and quoting Danny Glover, he says, "I never thought I'd say it, but I'm getting too old for this."
That's awesome.
She's doing it. She's, "I can do this. I can do this." And she's still hanging on. She's getting bucked around like she's on a bronco, and she's got her hands in the brow of his eye. And she's, this is going to be gross as her hand starts to embiggen. And she splooshes the alligator's eyeball. Ugh.
Yuck.
It is yuck. And he's
Peter totally, was.
What's that?
PETA was totally against this issue.
Yes, right.
I'm sure they were.
They were picketing comic shops. Save that alligator.
No actual giant alligators were harmed in this issue. And she gets thrown off and into the water, and Wolverine is looking down at the water. He's like, "Kid, hang on. I'll get you." And then he remembers, "Oh, right, I'm fighting the giant one-eyed alligator. Behind me." Whoa, there. Easy, fella. And it dives at him, and Wolverine dives out of the way. And how's that one line about death go? Biting the big one? Guess this is what fancy people call literalism, and it works.
Yep, snaps down on a big bunch of empty air.
Big bunch of air because she's pulled. Kamala has grown long legs and has grabbed the alligator's tail and pulled him back just as he was about to chomp down on Wolverine. And she's all, "Get back, you giant lizard!" Because she's not quite sure what to call him, because she hasn't been paying attention in biology class. And it's the giant alligators all kind of this reminds me of the alligators from The Rescuers.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's cool.
I said, "Get back." Sorry, giant sewer alligator. If it's a choice between me and you, I choose me. Wolverine, do your claw thingy now. And he snicks and roar and very kind of John Burney like dives at us.
Mm-hmm.
He guts the alligator in the gullet, and this time this one's dead. I do not think this one is sleeping.
No.
And she pulls Wolverine out of the water. And, "Are you Okay, I ain't dead, so that's a start. Thanks, kid. Don't thank me. For real. And they're sitting there recovering on the side of the water. I don't like hurting stuff, even giant sewer alligators. I mean, is it possible to help people without hurting other people? Or, you know, reptiles? No. Nope, it ain't. It all circles around, the hurt, I mean. Sometimes you can avoid hurting other people, but it usually means you get hurt pretty bad instead. The pain's got to go somewhere. Hmm. I don't want to believe that, she says. You're young, he reminds her. And he looks around, and there's a lot of destruction, and there's a giant dead alligator in the water there. Which is
and all that water is going into your sewer system.
No, it's going to the treatment plant. It's going to get all treated out.
Oh, yeah, they're going to treat out all the giant mutant alligator bits. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
What do you think explains the Jersey Shore? Giant mutant alligator bits.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Where do you think Snooki comes from? Yeah. Giant mutant alligator bits.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm educated. Thank you. Okay, good night, folks. And he reminds her, we got to keep moving. If we can unblock this exit, not going to work. We'll never clear away all that stuff blocking the stairs. If we're going to get out of here, it has to be another way. And she says, great. Who knows what else is down there, says Wolverine. This is a horror movie waiting to happen. Oh, and then she says it. This is like those horror movies my parents wouldn't let me watch. If you never watched them, how do you know what they're like? Hello, it's called having an imagination. Yes, this is a great comic. Sorry, it is so awesome. And
this next scene is cool.
And he says, the worst thing that you can imagine is a giant alligator in an old subway tunnel. She said, I guess so. And he says, your parents deserve a medal. And now might not be the best time to say this, but without a few torn ligaments, I'm not the best swimmer. She says, no problem. You can ride on my back. What? I am way too heavy for you. She says, I'll just embiggen my legs, and the buoyancy of the water will do the rest. And he says, never tell anybody about this. Ever. I'm sorry. I already pictogram the whole sad episode. The selfie awesome. From the cover.
That's right.
And we get a reminder that he is really heavy. We get the oof face. Very, very anime.
Yes.
And he says, like I said, metal bones. And so, how'd you lose it anyway? Lose what, he asks. Your healing factor. Long story. The moral which is, appreciate it while you got it. The only power worth snot is the power to get up after you fall down. Very philosophical. Probably not a Buddhist. And he says, everything else, the fancier, flashier powers, they're just extra. Icing on the cake, I guess. I never thought of it like that before. Yeah, well, when you get to be an old fart like me, this is the kind of stuff that preoccupies you on the job. And they get to an opening in the ceiling, and she and Biggins up, lifts him up. What's up there? Maybe some kind of maintenance tunnel. Worth a shot. Hold on. And he lifts her up, and it's kind of awkward, standing on her face. I see something. More tunnel. It goes up a ways, he said, then branches off. Claustrophobic? She says, even if I am, I'll pretend I'm not. And he grabs her and pulls her up into the maintenance tunnel, and we get a very cool, not Escher. Who's the guy who does the...
Yeah, that's Escher. MC Escher.
Escher, yeah. And we got to start at the bottom of the page, because we are actually going up. Which it took the first time I read this, I actually read it the wrong way. I admit it.
I almost did, so you said that.
Yeah, well, again, they're crawling up, and we get him saying, so what's a kid like you doing with Carol Danvers' old name? Those are big shoes to fill, big boots, actually, and it's complicated. I've looked up to Carol my whole life, and when she came to New York and all that stuff went down, I felt like she was the bravest person who ever lived, and that's way back in Captain Marvel 17, second series Captain Marvel 17, and basically Carol saved the city single-handedly. anyhow, going up, and I got my powers, and I became Ms. Marvel, literally. I guess that's who I thought a hero had to be. It took me a while to figure out that Ms. Marvel could be me, and that I didn't have to pretend to be someone else in order to wear the lightning bolt. But you're wearing a mask, he says. I have a very overprotective family. They don't know, he asks. Nope. My dad would have a heart attack. My mom would have, like, 3 heart attacks. And they come into a little opening here. Looks like someone's been sleeping there. Muties is written on the wall. I'm trying to look for hidden treasure in the ground here, like they always do in The Simpsons, but it doesn't seem to be. There's locusts. There's a box of locusts.
Yummy.
Whatever. And they keep going up, and they're finally about ground level. If you say so, he says. What's that supposed to mean? It means that a mask cuts both ways. Be careful what you tell yourself when you're wearing it. Basically, he's saying, you know, don't think that a mask is going to protect everyone. And they come to a room, which the inventor is incredibly forward-thinking because...
Yeah, that's right.
There is a video screen in there, and it's blocked off. And she says, Terra Firma, finally! He says, I wish we had a ladder. Who cares? I'll just embiggen my legs and boost you up there. No offense, but your powers kind of freak me out. And I've been some crazy stuff.
That line surprises me, but... You know.
It's a weird drawing of him. This is probably the first panel that I have not enjoyed in the whole
series. Yeah, he looks like he has no torso, or that's the word I'm looking for. Pelvis.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyhow. It's
like body and then legs.
And then, of course, the grate above them is slammed shut, and the video screen goes on, and we have the inventor. Greetings, my dears. I see you bested my Mega Gator, which I think was a sci-fi movie.
I believe it, yeah.
He says, I'm very impressed by you, I mean, less so by the Mega Gator. And the room goes red. However, I'm not quite finished with my work, so I'm afraid I can't let you out just yet. Good luck getting out of this one. You can punch an alligator, but cement and steel are another matter. I've had it with this crazy cockatoo, he says, Wolverine. Cockatiel. Says he's a cockatiel.
He's pulling a Star Wars on them. The walls are shrinking in.
They are. What do we do now? The maniac's got some kind of power source. If we shut it down
all the trash compactors on the detention level. Sorry.
The detention level, all the trash compactors. He says, but if we shut down, maybe we could stop the walls from turning us into jelly. But how do we do that? How the heck would I know? I never made it past high school. I'm in high school, she says, as she's trying to be that pole between the two walls that they kept having crushed in Star Wars, or New Hope. And he starts punching at the electronics behind the TV screen and hurts himself. Yeah, are you okay, she says. Yeah, just give me a second. She says, no, let me do it. It's going to hurt. It always hurts, he says. That's how this works. That's just got to, you just got to trust yourself to come through. Like he was saying earlier, someone's going to get hurt no matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And she pulls at the wires, and she's clearly in pain. Lots of electricity going through the wires, and thinking to herself, it's like being snapped with a rubber band, except 1,000 times worse, and all over. I can feel my healing factor kicking in, sucking energy out of my muscles, my everything. It's almost worse than getting hurt. I breathe. I trust myself. Wolverine is right. You okay, he asks. Just give me a second. And the walls have stopped. And she is sitting there smoking on the floor, literally. Great panel. All right, she says, I'm better-ish. It took a lot out of me, though, know, and I get really hungry. I can use a hero right about now. A big, when we get out of here, I will buy you the world's biggest hero. But we got to keep moving. Think you can shrink down and follow these cables back into the wall? You've got to be hooked up to something. Find the power source, right? Be careful. Holler if you need. I'm going to find another way in. Oh, no. She walks through the tunnel, very John McClane-like, and then comes out the other side. Oh no, the power source. It's a person. And there's a kid lying in a pool with wires hooked up to him and some robot scorpions around him. It's kind of out of like a Minority Report. Picture that. And they have the triplets in there. And lots of power cables coming out of the pool of water. It's kind of a downer after the goofiness of the stuff leading up to it. And she looks down and she starts doing digging, and she says to herself, is this what the inventor is doing with all the missing kids, hooking them up to machines? And the robot scorpion is like, what? And she punches it hard.
Pushes it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets besorged by the other one, and she's a holler. Like, older too, she's older to holler. And she's a holler. Like when you say when someone tells you to, how full do you want your glass, say when.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. And Wolverine is in hero mode and dives through the wall. And he snicked the other robot. And then they pull the kid out of the pool of water. It turns out, oh my god, Julie, says Wolverine. Hey kid, come on, wake up. There are others. I keep thinking it's Julie Power, but it's not. It's just another kid named Julie. That's how entrenched I am in the Marvel Universe. Every kid named Julie is Julie Power. And Wolverine's out cold. I need to get her to a hospital. Right, you do that. I'll find a way to track down the rest of the runaways. If this is what the inventor is doing to them, we got to move fast. And they are out on the docks. They get outside. Set this one out, kid. I'll take it from here. Yeah, but no, says Kamala. No, Wolverine says. This is my city, my home. I know it inside and out. If the inventor messes with Jersey City, he messes with me. In the background, we see the Inhuman ship. I can't remember what it's called. I'm having a brain freeze there. Across the river. And there's floating parts of the city as well out there.
Is that where?
What?
Sorry, is that where Adelan is now? Is Adelan like floating above New Jersey?
Yes, okay. It's actually on the shores of Jersey. Yes, thank you, Adelan. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that free issue of Inhuman that they gave out on the 12 Days of Christmas deal. They mentioned it was talked about all that.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
So yes, it's now part of. It's pulling a Titan's Tower and is outside New York City.
Great.
Yes, I know. Not that that's ever going to attract a lot of big bads from outer space.
Well, just think about all the fuel bills it's going to save all the other heroes. They can just go to Jersey to see.
We're going to go hang it. Rather than going all the way to the moon to see them, they just go out the river. Hey, and she says. Hey, if I can survive getting gassed with weird green mist and waking up with superpowers, I can survive any... Wait, green mist? Are you saying you got your powers after the Terrigen bomb, asked Wolverine? The who what? Nothing. Forget I said anything. Okay, we'll try it your way for now, but this ain't a game. I'm going to keep my eye on you. So I guess this is goodbye, huh? Nah, I'll see you later. I still owe you a hero, or gyro, depending on who you are.
Yeah.
She says to herself, it occurs to me that Sheik Abdullah was right. When the student is ready, the master will appear. This has turned out to be a pretty decent day after all.
Mm-hmm.
And there we go. Now we're in Adelan, as you noted, Murray, thank you, on the Hudson River, New York, New Jersey. And we see Medusa, and she says, the river's so quiet at night, so deceptive. You can't tell what might be happening just beneath the surface. And then in walks the still young Steve Rogers. This is pre the current Marvel Universe. Sorry, am I interrupting something? No, nothing. I was just looking at the water and thinking, never mind. What can I do for you, Captain? She didn't say Captain. I said Captain, sorry. Wolverine just called. Seems he's found a young Inhuman patrolling New Jersey City. Says she's got no idea what she is. Another one? There are so many now. So many. Logan says, this one is different. They're all special, says Medusa. Not special enough for a phone call from a guy who's famous for not liking people. She must have made an impression. I'll send someone to bring her right away. She'll need protection, training. I don't think that's what Logan had in mind. He shows her the picture of him, of Kamala eating the hero sandwich. It looks good, even in cartoony form. You'll need. She likes taking selfies. He says she's determined to figure things out on her own. Apparently, she's almost as stubborn as he is. I can see why he likes her. This one is special, says Medusa. She needs a companion, someone to help her, and to be my eyes and ears while she grows into her power. And Roger says, you're not going to send him, are you? There are a few I trust more, Steve. I have a job for you. Pull back. Lockjaw. Skippy, it's Lockjaw. Big old. I like this drawing of Lockjaw. I love it.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm going to have to read more of that.
Yes, because next issue, Lockjaw joins the cast.
Awesome.
Yes, he does. And there's that, when you look at the next issue preview, it's basically her trying to walk the dog and the dog running away, chasing a butterfly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
As puppies
will be. Yeah, it's a good, good series.
And I always liked the origin of Lockjaw. It's actually, he used to be a regular old inhuman person and then became a dog. And
what? You're kidding.
Yeah, I was just, somehow I picked that up in that inhuman issue I read. The Dirgeon Mists did that.
And he got turned into a pet? That's so sad.
Well, they don't refer to him enough often enough as, but he is one of the royal family. So, mm-hmm. Anyhow,
that is like a pet. Oh, how demeaning!
I like the fact that this one ends with it, sort of like when you watch the backdoor premieres of a TV show, like on Bucky. Yeah. They did. Oh, I'll keep an eye on you, and then they go off, and the new series starts with a new character, and you know, maybe once a year or so, Buffy appeared in Angel, or vice versa. Anyhow, that was the two-parter Awesome Sauce Wolverine issues of Ms. Marvel. She does keep appearing around the Marvel Universe. She's in a couple recent issues of Amazing Spider-Man. For the leading into the Spider-Verse thing that's going on. Because she is an East Coast hero like Spider-Man. And she geeks out in that as well. Dan Slott has a really good take on her. If you're interested in seeing her written by someone else. I think she's supposed to be joining some and such team, but I don't know if that's confirmed or not.
They'll start a new book, Kid Invaders.
Kid
and humans. Human kids.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I have not enjoyed the Inhumans book recently, but that's not this book. This book is fun. This book is goofy while having moments of seriousness, and it's got, for comic book verse, it's got real people in it. Something that Marvel has excelled at recently, even with the straight-on superhero books like Guardians of the Galaxy, or even Captain Marvel. It's been very, very good dialogue.
Yeah, well, so, it's good.
And this has been a pinnacle of it, and I hope it lasts. I hope even if the sales are in the toilet, they keep this book going to the point where it lives on its own steam.
That would be great.
I think the digital sales for it are amazing from what people say.
Well, the first trade paperback was the top seller of its month of paperback, so that's huge. But it also points to the fact that, like you said, that you know, digital and of course trade paperbacks are the next wave. People are not as willing to wait for a $4 comic book like this.
Mm. Although this one isn't $4.
It's not? Is it a $3 book?
Yeah, it's a $2.99 book.
Okay, sorry, I thought it was a $3.99.
Well, that's even better.
Good for Marvel. For for keeping this reasonably priced, though reasonably is in quotes.
Yes, true.
So, Chris, I'm glad you could be turned on to another indie superhero book.
Yes, yeah, I'm looking forward to reading that. I'm sure I've got the issues downloaded already. I'm trying to get to it
in your sickness.
Yes, I will do that. That's all I did yesterday was read comics and watch TV.
Good. Well, that will get you healthy.
Yeah, I feel better already. Oh yes, and eat a bunch because, you know, where I come from, it's feet of cold and feet of fever.
Feet of everything.
Yes, it seemed to work so far.
Mm-hmm.
So all right then, that covers this extremely extended edition of Tales of the Long Box, at least for us anyway. It's normal size for the rest of you. but anyway, as always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think. Or you can join us on Facebook and join the conversation there. Just do a little search for talesfromthelongbox.com podcast. And as always, you can comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think there. And that's about it for this week. And we are out.
Alrighty.